Hello, hello, everybody. I'm Lexi Lombard, your host of the At Lexi podcast. Happy Wednesday. I had such a wild week with some random things I did not expect. The realization that I love to date gay men. I also failed a driver's test. I think I have a newfound understanding for the American government. Maybe. Will I ever, though? Will any of us ever? I do not know. And then I'm currently coming to you as an idiot because I partied really hard on a Friday night. It is Tuesday now, okay? It's Tuesday. All right, we've had all of Saturday, all of Sunday, and all of Monday to recover. That I was recovered, apparently not. Is this what being 28 is like? This is unacceptable. Maybe it's an ebb and a flow. Maybe I'm in an ebb where my body's like, we cannot do this. I had so much fun. Was it worth it? I would say yes. It was my friend's birthday, which I can talk about. But I do want to get into the driver's test because to be 28 and I failed my driver's test twice, that was unexpected. Very unexpected. You're probably like, I'm not getting into a car with you. That was actually one of the responses that one of my friends said. And I read him the question and he got it wrong. I read him all the questions that I got wrong and he was getting them wrong as well. So I'm going to pull up the driver's questions for a California driving test so you can feel the ridiculousness of it. See if you can get these right. Question number one. When a railroad crossing is not controlled, what is the speed limit when you are within 100 feet and cannot see for 400 feet in both directions? A, 15 miles per hour, B, 10 miles per hour, or C, 25 miles per hour? What do you think it is? Also, what a bullshit question. It's like, I think as long as you're going really slow and looking both ways as best as you can, you'll be okay. The answer is 15 miles per hour. Next question. You're about to make a left turn. You must sign continuously during the last blank feet before the turn. A, 50. B, 75. C, 100. Surprise, I don't remember the answer. But let's back up before I ask a few questions. But that's to paint a picture of the type of questions I was being asked. I receive an offer from a friend to go on a trip. It involves renting cars, driving cars, so she asked for my license. My license is expired. I think you can just order one from the DMV, but I use this as an opportunity to think, hey, let's become a California state resident. I want to do it. Let's go to the DMV here. So I beep up over, no, let's back up. So I researched online best DMV near me because DMVs are historically awful. And I figured the Hollywood one would probably be the worst. Context clues felt like that would be the biggest nightmare. Then was on Reddit, saw that Pasadena has a good one. I'm in Silver Lake, that's not that far from Pasadena. I don't mind the drive to Pasadena, let's do it. Freelancer privileges, I make my way over there first thing in the morning on a Wednesday, and I arrive. There's not that many people there. I mean, it's still crowded, but I wasn't waiting in too many lines, and I submit my application, I pay for it, and then he goes, and you can take your driver's test over there. I said, take my driver's test? He said, yeah, you have to take the driver's test again. I was like, okay. No problem. Racking my brain thinking, oh good God, I have not studied for this test. I mean, I know how to drive, so should be fine. I make my way to the computer. I start answering questions. Get a couple wrong. Announcement pops up on the screen. You have failed. I was like, oh shit, that's not good. And so I go back to the desk and say, I failed. He says, you have two more tries. I said, do you have a handbook or something that I can study with? He goes, no, we're all out of English ones. Okay. He goes, you can study online. I said, what's your Wi-Fi? He goes, we don't have Wi-Fi. I didn't have service. okay? For sure. So I'm walking around outside trying to gain good enough service to load some practice tests. I take a few, feel better than I did the first time around. Get back in there. Surprise, surprise. Make it farther than I did the first time. There's been improvement. But no, I failed again. I'm feeling not defeated, but worried. Definitely feeling concerned. I call my friend who I was planning on seeing later that day. I tell him I just failed my driver's test. He's from Canada, and he's like, if anyone understands this, it's me. I had to do this recently. It's hard. Give yourself at least an hour. Study, then go back in once you're prepared and take the test. I thought, you're right, I needed to hear that. I need to give myself at least an hour, because when I was studying online between the first and the second test, I probably gave myself like maybe 10 minutes. But let's go back into the school days. Even though I was not a very good studier in school, I either got by through common sense, understanding the lesson, or cheating. Like, I was not a great studier, you know? I didn't have good study habits. But I thought, let's see if this version of myself is. Let's see how this goes. So I studied for an hour and a half. And this time, I saw people taking the test on paper as opposed to the computer. And the thing about the computer test is when you select an answer, it automatically submits. So you receive question one. When you click, whether it's A, B, C, D, then it submits. If you get it wrong, it just counts as the wrong one. You find out immediately upon answering. Whereas on paper, I could answer my questions, go back, proof them, and then decide if I wanted to change any answers. Whereas on the computer, that was not an option. So I decided to opt for paper. I'm with a ton of 17-year-olds. I'm also with a ton of middle-aged men. And everybody's failing. We're all failing. There are some people passing, but a lot of people failing. And a lot of middle-aged adults being like, what do I do? What do I do if I fail it all three times? Because, as I said, no booklets. Assuming other people had maybe come prepared, I'm sure the teenagers did. When I was eligible to drive, I did it the day I could. It was so exciting. I didn't want to waste a moment. In Virginia, you can get your permit at 14 and 9 months. You best believe at 14 and 9 months to the day, that's when I showed up and I took my permit, or got my permit. So I feel like the teenagers were doing well. Us adults were on the struggle bus more than anybody else. So I submit my test to the woman at the desk, and I see her grading it. And I put little stars by the ones that I wasn't sure about, just so when she was grading it, I could tell whether or not the ones that I felt less sure of, if I got them right or wrong, just for my own sake. And she started going through them, and I was guessing correctly for some of those star ones, and I was feeling good. But then got to a page, and the ones that I didn't have stars by, she marked off three wrong, I think, in a row, two or three. I was starting to get nervous because I think you can only miss six. And then she flipped to the end and was like, okay, you're good to go. I'm not kidding. I went, woo! It was an automated response. Like, my body just did that. There was no thinking beforehand. There was so much relief because I was panicking there for a moment. Because A, I could have just as easily gone on the DMV website or the government website and had a Virginia ID mailed to me. I just decided, okay, let's become a California resident. Let's do that. And I only really was being propelled to get this license, which I needed to get anyway. I was driving around with an expired license because of a trip opportunity. And then for me to just be doing this kind of for fun, then to potentially lose my license, was not what I had prepared for my journey on a random Wednesday last week. So just know that that can happen. I want to read you some of these driving questions because they are crazy. One of them was if a driver willfully flees from a police officer pulling them over, what is the person subject to? And I said a fine minimum of $1,000. And the answer was a year in county jail. And I'm over here thinking, what does this have to do? I'm going to pull over. I don't need to know the consequence of not pulling over for a police officer because I'm going to pull over. I need to know things like, what, just like make sure I know what the different road signs are. Some of them are sensible. You know, who can legally park next to the curb when it's painted blue? A person who's disabled. Make sure I know what the difference between yellow lines, blue lines, red lines, white lines, crosshatch parking spaces. Give me questions like that. Ask me about right of way at intersections. Ask me when you can turn left at a red light. Ask me about different road signs. You don't need to ask me what the consequence or what someone is subject to if willfully fleeing from a police officer. What the fuck? It was an eye-opening experience, let me tell you. And I fully was not prepared to have that experience last week. But here we are with a temporary license, which apparently is potentially not being accepted by this trip that I'm trying to go on. But a temporary license is legal. And then on top of that, the person at the DMV said something about not being able to get in touch with Homeland Security, and I might not receive my license until November, even though my temporary license expires in October. And I thought, well, can I have a temporary license that expires in November? That way I don't have to worry about existing with an expired license. And he said no. And I was looking in his eyes for, you understand that doesn't make sense, right? Lights on, no one was home. He hated his life. You could see it. You could look into his eyes and tell that he had lost his shimmer. He needed to get his shimmer back. But that on top of experiences like, you need to take a test. Awesome. Do you have a booklet to study from? No. Okay, do you have Wi-Fi? No, but you can go online. Okay, what's your Wi-Fi? We don't have any. Blink, blink. What? Ay, ay, ay. And that's America. Different compilations have been surfacing online of comparing the debates between Barack Obama and John McCain, Barack Obama and Mitt Romney, comparing them to Donald Trump and Joe Biden. Ooh! Regardless of who you voted for in those first two elections that I just mentioned, at least they were qualified. You know, they represented their party, and the two opponents had respect for one another. They were willing to agree to disagree and actually have conversations regarding topics. Of course, politicians are politicians at the end of the day. But what is going on right now? What is going on? Also, not to be a conspiracy theorist, I suppose, but the shooting? Did that not look staged to anyone else? The photos were too perfect. They were too perfect. You're telling me that the way that he falls and has his hand up is directly behind an American flag, like, really? Come on, you think that just happened candidly? What do I know? What do I know? What a perfect scenario, too. Don't worry, we have a professional sniper that's gonna do this. He's just gonna knock off the tip of your ear. If I was desperate to win votes, and I was him, because I wouldn't do this if that was me, but if I was him, I'd say, yeah, you can take the tip of my ear off. Sure. If you think that's going to make me look like a hero, if you think I'd get some more votes, I don't need the tip of my ear. It's fine. I've lived a long life. Take it. That's what I would think. But as I said, what do I know? What do I know? I'm just a little girl in Los Angeles who prefers to hang out with the girls and gays, which is my next order of business that I want to discuss. I have been single for quite some time, and the only time it's ever bothered me, of course I'm a human and there's definitely been seasons in my life where I think, okay, a serious long-term relationship sounds really good right now, and that is something I desire in this life. However, in a day-to-day basis, I rarely feel lonely and feel that there's a void that needs to be filled. I find my social life and my support system to be quite filled, and I feel supported by it. I was having a conversation with one of my friends at dinner, and she is just like giggling, texting the way that, you know, a girly would for a crush. And it's just one of the gays, and she dates gay men. I was like, Ty, you date gays? And she's like, I date gays. I was like, me too. And then my friend Emily, I'm like, she does too. Like, you cannot tell me that Drew is not Emily's boyfriend. Like, Tyra has had, she has gay men come into her life, wine and dine her. They become besties just the same way a boyfriend would. I don't think it's actually that niche of an issue. I feel like it's probably more common than we think. When I was in New York, for instance, I was hanging out with my friend John almost every day. As many days as I possibly could, I was with him. I was texting him throughout the day the way I would a boyfriend. I mean, yes, that's what we do with our best friends. But I think subconsciously, because they're of another sex, I don't know, I haven't sorted this out. I'm still combing through this concept because I don't know if it's very literal or if it's more nuanced. Yes, I come to you with a topic that's not concluded, but this is the name of the game. I'm here to explore ideas as well as share information. And this is one that really resonates with me because of the length that I've been single and the lack of desire I've felt to make moves for it because I feel satisfied in my relationships. And I'm sure I could say the same thing. Like, I definitely date my friends. They are the people that I go out with. How does it feel? Like, it feels nice. It feels right. I'm just thinking about it. I'm thinking about it from my perspective, but also looking at my other friends. Drew goes and picks Emily up and they buy each other gifts and like they're besties, but it's also like their boyfriend, girlfriend. Like, no, they're not having sex, but their boyfriend, girlfriend. More than they are brother, sister. And I don't know if I'm exploring this incorrectly because of gender binaries. But then I could argue, I'm like, I date Tyra, my roommate, one of my best friends. That girl and I, we are going on honeymoons together. Anytime the two of us just do a little vacation, we call it a honeymoon because it's romantic and we treat each other better than any man has ever treated us. Like the way that, oh my God, Tyra will find the nicest restaurants, pick the nicest hotels. Like she is wining and dining. When she cooks for us at home, it is so gourmet. A man would be lucky to have Tyra as their girlfriend, as their wife. But in the meantime, I'm Tyra's wife, and I love that. And maybe this is also just a season of youth. Like maybe we're lucky because we haven't found another partner, so we get to do it for our friends. So maybe this is actually a treat to get to experience because I have my whole life to be married, if that's an interest of mine, or just to be partnered up in a serious companionship. I have my whole life to do that. So, I mean, my grandparents were married longer than I've been alive. So the fact that a marriage could exist, a partnership with one person could exist double the time that I've even been on this earth, which, I mean, I can't conceptualize because it's, to my conscious memory, the only amount of time I've ever experienced or can really know. You could debate that. It's not the point of what I'm trying to say. The point of what I'm trying to say is that if I'm going to be married for 40 years, what's 5 with my friends? What's 10 with my friends? This is fun. And I like that being older and single with my friends makes me get to be a more fun and mature and romantic person to my friends, where we can, this dinner came up or this conversation came up because Tyra and I go to this one restaurant multiple times a week, and oftentimes it's just us. Sometimes we have friends with us, sometimes we're meeting friends, but a lot of times it's just her and I. She's like, oh, they definitely think we're a couple. And I was like, we have to, like, This is such a date spot too, that we're just going with each other all the time. Like, what two girls go to the same semi-romantic restaurant together just with each other multiple times a week? It's like, I don't know, young, fun, mature girls that enjoy a little romance. So maybe we're just romantic to ourselves and romantic to our friends. I think this movement of, you know, make sure you're romanticizing your life, it makes life a lot more fun. You can romanticize your relationships. You can make an ordinary dinner something kind of sweet and something kind of special. I remember Tyra's taught me a lot about this, actually. And she is self-described as the quintessential Libra. She loves nice things. She loves pretty things. She feels like her downfall is that she can lean a little, like, shallow or superficial. All things considered, my God, she will show me the best restaurants. She got into cooking, and it wouldn't just be like, oh, I'm making chicken, rice, and broccoli. She was buying lobster tails. We were having lobster for dinner. Lobster pasta. Oh, we had some good dishes. And it's like, why not? Why do we have to save lobster tails for a man or for a romantic partner? Why can we not have a romantic moment with our friends? So I guess it's not exclusive to gender, but I did think that maybe it could seem that way, where straight girls that have guys that they're friends with that are gay could be a surrogate boyfriend in the way that their internalized or evolutionary, like, masculine energy comes out, even though that they're not pursuing us in a romantic way, just that subconscious age-old energy happens to come out, and they do end up being providers and protectors in their own way. And maybe that's what I've been doing. I don't know. I'm just exploring. Yeah, so maybe it is nuanced. I'm not so sure. It's something I was thinking about, but it's not something I'm actually mad about. I'm not upset by it whatsoever. I find it to be quite interesting. And it also feels like a somewhat modern issue. Except for Tyra will say that her mom was just like this too. She's like, oh, my mom was friends with all the gays. Like, those were her favorite friends. I'm like, I think I have a mix. But I definitely don't have straight guy friends. Very few. As said in my last episode, we had a bug issue at my apartment. The way that I could not rack my brain for a man that I knew that would be down to kill some bugs. Yeah. So maybe I do need to diversify my friend group. Maybe I do need some straight men in the mix. What else is on my agenda? Oh, one of my best friend's birthdays was over the weekend, and I went so hard. So happy birthday, Drew. I love you. I adore you. I cannot believe that I've known you for over 10 years now, and he's just blossomed into this beautiful person, and I feel so lucky to get to experience life with him. So he has a birthday dinner at Craig's, and I had never been. I think maybe I'd been to Craig's once, and I was FaceTiming my friend while getting ready, and she's like, interesting, when I worked at SVB, I felt like I was making reservations for more geriatric couples. And I thought, interesting, because I think of, like, Stassi baby when I think of Craig's. And she's like, I don't know, maybe there's both. Surprise, there's both, because I walked in. I see our table in this back room, but then I do see lovely geriatric couples having romantic dinners. And so we get into this back room, and there's a table with maybe 15 of us, maybe 20 of us, and there's a little iPad where you can control the music, and I think that's the game changer. This was such a perfect birthday experience, because you get the feeling of having an intimate dinner party, but then you get the benefit of being at a restaurant where you have waiters serving you and cleaning up after. So that was nice. Anyway, we started turning on, not throwbacks, but like 2016 music. One friend got out of his seat, he started dancing. Few other people got out of their seats, started dancing. Next thing you know, some people were on the chairs dancing. By the end of it, people were in the center of the table, barefoot, having a party, a piece of art fell off the wall, and I'm over here talking to my friend in the morning. She's like, Craig hates us. And I was like, no, Craig told you to get on the table. Yeah, this Jimmy Kimmel looking figure walks in. And I was like, I wouldn't put it past this group of people to know Jimmy Kimmel, but interesting. And then they're like, Craig! Got it. Totally. For sure. It was so much fun. I had so much fun. I haven't had fun like that drinking in a long time. I could not tell you, or it was a proper party. I felt like I was in Vegas. Granted, there were indicators around to make me feel like we were in Vegas, dancing on tables, also having ice cream sundaes coming out with sparklers. I transported. I had so much fun. I want him to do that every year. And I was talking the next day. I was like, I get why you guys go to Craig's. Like, that is a fun time. And they're like, no, that's never happened. Normally, when we go to Craig's, we sit down, we order, we have some drinks, we pay the bill, and we leave like normal people. That has never happened. I was like, okay, well, that was incredible. Whatever just happened was fabulous. And then I floated on through the night. Things just got more and more, I don't know, I was really in the right mood. It's Friday night. I still feel like I'm recovering from the hangover. It was around like 1 p.m. yesterday. Mind you, this was Friday night that I went out. 1 p.m. on Monday. It's currently Tuesday. And I thought, okay, now I feel okay. Now I feel like the hangover just ended. I was occupied doing something. And then a light bulb hit me and said, the hangover's gone now. It's over. I still felt a little clouded this morning, but I had so many drinks. From my Patreon girlies, I will tell the story of the rest of the night there, but so much fun. That is not a regular occurrence, and I will not be doing that anytime soon, but on occasion, fun. Saturday, I spent as much time in bed as I possibly could, because I think I got back at maybe 5 or 6 in the morning, maybe like 5:30. And yeah, we'll just talk about this all on the Patreon. If you're interested, my Patreon listeners, you get an extended episode every single week. I'll have that in the show notes. So that's there's two tiers. There's price of an iced coffee, and that you get the extended podcast episode every week. And then there's price of a cocktail tier, and that you get the extended podcast episode as well as custom video, not custom videos, but videos. Think old school YouTube style. And then also the extended video podcast. So if you're watching on YouTube right now, which I have been receiving questions, and I do want to get into questions from last week's episode and the prior weeks, but one of the questions I'd been receiving was, is there a way that you can get your video on Spotify? If I'm not mistaken, I believe that that's a Spotify exclusive deal, and I'm not part of the Spotify network. I will discuss this with my podcast network to see how that can work, but in the meantime, it will be on YouTube for video, and then audio, it'll be wherever you listen to podcasts. And then as a Patreon listener, when you're listening to the podcast episode on Patreon, it plays on your phone the same way that a Spotify or an Apple would, where you don't need to have the app open. I was describing in last week's episode what Patreon looks like, because I honestly didn't know until I created one. It's very user-friendly. It's just kind of like a social media feed / blog, maybe. It's just like scrolling through a feed, and you get to see the books that I recommend, the videos, the podcast episodes. I just made a summer playlist for you guys. I want to do a summer reading list, even though summer is halfway over. It's never too late. It's never too late. Also, I want to give a shout out to, let me find her username. In last week's episode, I had discussed a bug infestation that I had in my apartment, and in my head, I had it that I had spent the entire episode discussing this, when in reality it was just a couple minutes of the episode, but I was feeling very insecure about last week's episode. It's called Questions I Wish I Could Ask My Mom, and the beginning part of the episode I didn't know if I liked, whereas the second half of the Q&A, I loved last week's Q&A. It was one of my favorites, but I almost didn't post last week's episode because I was like, I don't like it. Also, I'm wearing a jersey in it, and I had a little mini skirt and boots on, but you couldn't see it, and I had my hair down, and I didn't like the way that it looked up top, and I really wish I did a slick back bun that was kind of spiky with some earrings or some fun jewelry, and I didn't do that, so that was another reason I didn't want to post it. But Steph 1005 said, one of my favorite episodes ever. I just love listening to your stories. And I was like, I was so hesitant. I almost didn't post this. And I'm so glad to hear that. And then I think someone else had commented that the fly story. Oh, I think someone said that on Patreon, where they were like, trust me, the fly story wasn't as bad as you thought. So that was relieving. That was relieving. So on that note, let's get into the Q&A. But first, a word from today's sponsors. If you have hormone imbalance, clap your hands. A lot of us have it, you know? We're girls, we're learning more about hormone health every single day, every single year. And I love that we're finally getting this information because knowledge is power. And if this is something that's been on your mind, Happy Mammoth has a supplement called Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony has been marketed initially to women going through menopause, but it is not just for women going through menopause. It supports hormone balance, supports cortisol, estrogen, and progesterone levels. It promotes healthy weight loss, curbs carb cravings, improves sleep quality, helps with irritability, enhances the body's adaptation to stress, and supports mental function. It's free from gluten, dairy, soy, and sugar. It's non-GMO, and there is a 60-day money back guarantee. So for a limited time, if you want to get 15% off your entire first order, go to happymammoth.com and use the code Lexi, L-E-X-I-E, at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code Lexi for 15% off today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Starting with a question from Mall Hughes. Future tattoos you'd love to get. I might be too scared, but I love kind of elaborate, abstract back tattoos. I liked sticker tattoos for a long time, just these little bits all over the arms. I don't have that many tattoos, and I think I would rather, at this point in my life, do one more grand tattoo as opposed to lots of little ones. I also think a tattoo here is so hot, but I don't have the guts to do that. I think I would get sick of it. And I don't know, but right on the sternum is so hot. But also I think back tattoos are really hot. I also like thigh tattoos or right above the knee, but I have no intentions on getting any of those anytime soon. I just like the look of them. Interesting. Katie asked for thoughts on making a Lexi app. I really feel like Patreon is kind of the Lexi app. It has anything I want to share in one spot, and it feels so safe. It feels secluded. It feels private. It feels exciting. I love the chat. I love getting to meet you guys too, and I like the community aspect. For example, recent member of the Patreon, her name's Joanna. She grew up between Paris and the French Alps. She's an English teacher. Like, I love learning about you guys. Like, I love it. So I don't know if I would make a Lexi app. I think the Lexi Patreon is perfect. First Lady Ever. Love the username. What's the last song you sang along to? Guess. Charlie XCX. I listened to Brat the whole way here because my ride is 48 minutes. The album's 48 minutes. It's perfect. Someone said to really think about this. Gimengusa? Gimengusi? If you could be a kitchen utensil, which one would it be? Think about it with depth. You know, we have these sur la table utensils. I really like the fork. Would I be the fork? I'll include a photo if you're watching via video. I love handles like that, where they're classy, a little bit glamorous, but also casual. I love casual glamour. I don't think that's my personal style, but something that's bougie but approachable. You know, it looks nice, but it's not intimidating. Tashi Baker asked, where are cool girls buying their jewelry? I was thinking of, where did my jewelry go? Huh? I definitely came in here with a ring. What? Did I leave it in the bathroom? One sec. Okay, it was in my pocket, but I have this ring that came in an order with a pair of sunglasses that I got from Australia, and I think it's really cool. To describe it, it looks like it's a stone, but it's light. It could be plastic for all I know. It kind of looks like a shell. It's a light tan color. It's square. It's a little bit larger, more cocktail ring sized or statement ring sized. I don't like the way that wet metal feels, whereas I don't mind how this feels when it's wet when I wash my hands. Even if it's real jewelry and it won't stain my finger green, I still do not like washing my hands with it, but I hate taking them off to wash my hands and then putting them back on. It's a sensory issue, so I like this piece of jewelry. I found this necklace when doing my closet clean out, and it was completely tarnished. It's just a little Tiffany necklace that has two baby hearts on it, and I've been wearing this every day, and it was completely black, but I put some hot boiling water, baking soda, and tin foil in a bowl, and I let it sit for 30 minutes, wiped it off with a towel. Good as new. I think you can do that for all sterling. But where are cool girls buying their jewelry right now? My bracelet that says my mom's name is Ana Luisa. I also just received a really cool pair of earrings from a brand called The Collective, I believe. Let me look up on my email. I have the worst searching skills. Completed Works, that's what it's called. They have some really cool stuff. MML172 asked ways to find clarity to make big life-changing decisions. I believe a lot of us don't give ourselves enough credit for knowing what we really want, whether it be like, should I stay home? Or should I go move somewhere? Should I go to this school or that school? Should I break up with this person or should I stay with them? I think deep inside we do know the answer. And it takes doing things to get ourselves to trust that and to listen to that and to know that ultimately we know what's best for ourselves. And ways to find that clarity are to put yourself in situations where you're doing what you want to do. And that can be in small ways, like taking that trip that you've always wanted to go on, you know, whether that be, I've always wanted to go to California, but have never made any plans to, like, why don't you go make the trip and go spend a week in California? Like, just do it and prove to yourself that you can do things for you. And that could be, you know, even more casual than that. You know, you've always wanted to get ice cream that's a few towns over. So you just take yourself, you're like, I can't find any friends to do this with, so I'm just gonna go and I'm gonna take myself and I'm gonna enjoy this because this is something I wanna do. The more you exercise that muscle, the stronger it becomes and you're able to trust and listen to yourself when making big life-changing decisions. And then if you are really conflicted, I've never been the type of person to ask around for other opinions. I do not like doing that. I have friends who actually feel completely opposite and they need to ask their court of friends what they think and have people help them make the decision along the way so they feel really supported and good in that. I often need distance to make these big life-changing decisions. So I think you have to find out which one works for you in that aspect, but I do think that we ultimately know what's best for us. Wait, I'm obsessed with this. Augustina said, I live in Miami, I have a pool and a Jeep Wrangler. Also had a Maltese. Hit me up. Love the pod. Sometimes the algorithm brings people so similar together. I've never been to Miami, but I love a pool and I really want a Jeep Wrangler. I will say, I don't know if it makes sense to have a Jeep Wrangler in Los Angeles. A ton of people do. It's a very frequently found car here, but it definitely makes more sense if you live somewhere a bit more outdoorsy. I don't know if I need to be sitting in traffic on the 101 in a Jeep Wrangler. Not that I'd be opposed. I'm definitely still thinking about it. And then I want a Maltese. I want a Maltese so bad. I want a big dog, but right now in my life, I want a little travel dog. I want a dog that could be under the seat of a plane with me if I need to go somewhere. I want them to be able to fit in a tote. I really, really want a little Maltese. My grandma has a Maltese named Bentley, and I want my own little Bentley. Bentley is perfect. The only thing is Bentley is not very good around other dogs. Bentley is so good around people, and I definitely want to get a dog that can hang with dogs, with people, chill, easygoing. And I know Malteses, they're little white yippy dogs. I do want to make sure that if I get a Maltese, that they're not an ankle-biting monster that's like, rah, 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 rah. I don't want that. I want a chill dude. I really do. I want a loving, active, chill dude. Okay, another question about style. I love that our questions today have been really light. It's interesting, the themes, because a lot of times they tend to go together. Like, not only am I in a certain headspace, but you guys seem to be in a certain headspace too, where I'll get a lot of these intense, heavy, situational advice questions. But today it's a lot of, how would you describe your style? What are some of your hobbies? Where do you get jewelry? Things like that. There was one that I just had my thumb on that. Oh, Avery asked, way to have cute nails as a climber. I miss my nails, but I love climbing too much to stop. I've really grown to love the naked nail. I love having short, clean nails, and I don't miss them at all. I do occasionally see old videos of me with a nice long manicure. I had acrylics for years, or gel nails, gel X, all of them. And right now, I do not miss it for a second. I would say doing regular polish is useless. You could do a gel manicure, just a regular gel manicure, or you could get little nail stickers and just put those on your nails, and those would be super easy to replace if it got damaged or came off, but also wouldn't really inhibit climbing whatsoever. I miss climbing. I really haven't been going ever since I sprained my ankle. It's definitely not healed yet. My friend and I were running across the street over the weekend just to get to his car, and I could feel my ankle, but maybe I could try a little bit. I've been climbing a little bit. Morgan asked, should I hook up with my roommate? LOL, he's younger than me, but fine as hell. If you don't plan on living together for very long, I don't know your personality. If you can do that easily, sure, why not? You know? YOLO. Marissa asked for my dream wedding. What does your dream wedding look like? I've never really dreamed about my wedding. And this is something I don't relate to my girlfriends with at all. You know, I'll be out and my friend will be like, oh, I'm having these people cater my wedding. I have other friends who are like, this is the cut of the ring that I want. I don't have many thoughts about that at all. On one hand, I think it'd be really romantic to elope and to just sneak away and have it be really intimate, like just us and the witness or whoever is officiating it, and then maybe have a party. I think it depends on who I marry, because if they have any desires to have a really specific wedding, amazing, but I truly don't care. I do not care about my wedding. I'm much more interested in the marriage aspect of it. I do feel if I met someone that I like enough that I want to marry, I'm already excited enough. I don't know the type of ring cut I would like. I don't have a dream space for a wedding, any of that. If I like someone enough that I want to marry them, and I'm interested in doing the whole marriage thing with them. I feel like in that aspect, I've won. If they have any interest in a certain style of wedding, I'll let them take the reins. I'm like, oh, that's your dream? Amazing. I'm here to help you with it. But I don't have a dream wedding of my own. Beach Bunny asked, advice on how to stop caring about aging. Okay, double-edged sword, right? Because on one end, the less you care, the worse you'll age. But see, that's me caring about aging. I do think about aging. And I make steps to do it. I wear my sunscreen. See, the way that I've stopped... I projected my own thoughts onto this before even really taking a chance to figure out what you mean. Do you mean getting older or looking like you're getting older? Because I have no qualms about actually getting older. I like myself more and more every single year. I become more comfortable being a human every single year. I feel like I understand myself and I enjoy my time more and more as time goes on. That being said, I care about aging externally. I don't want to look like I'm getting older. I mean, it's fine. I don't, like, a 28-year-old to me is still a cutie. I'm not afraid of looking 28, but I do want to take preventative steps to not age any faster physically than I have to. That's where I completely fall into you could blame the patriarchy, you could blame media, whoever you want. I do be wearing my sunscreen every single day, and I want to have my vitamins and my minerals, and I want to make sure my body is healthy, and I want to feel good, and I want to look good. But that's for longevity. I want to enjoy my time here and age gracefully, but I'm not afraid of aging in the aspect of getting older and not being younger. I want to look younger, but I don't need to be younger. It is a strange evolution to go from being the youngest one in the group and having your age to your advantage where, you know, oh, you're still so young. Oh God, I'm not getting that common anymore, which is understandable, but I don't know. There's so much to be looking forward to. I think I'll love my 30s. I look forward to them fondly, and 40s, and I don't know. I don't mind it. I'm excited for it. And maybe that's also because I had really cool grandparents, and when I think about their lives and how much fun they looked like they were having when they were in their 70s, 80s, I've never been really fearful of reaching that because there's always different things to look forward to. I also love the concept of a slow burn or a slow rise. If I hit all my high points in my youth, I will be trying to relive my youth perpetually as opposed to having goals like maybe I want to be a model in my 70s, maybe I want to be playing a grandma in the movies and become an actor in my 80s. There are so many options of things to look forward to, and that has been a way in which I've avoided the fear of aging. Cinnamon Juice asked for my thoughts on ACOTAR. I finished the first book, A Court of Thorns and Roses, and towards the end of it, I was so interested in what was happening that I was walking to a coffee shop to work, and I physically had my book in my hand, and I was reading on the sidewalk as fast as I could, just trying to get it finished. And then I just started the second book 2 days ago. So far, so good. So far, so good. As a first fantasy book, I'm not sold, but I'm definitely interested, and I'm going to continue. Oh my God, guys. I posted a really cute photo on Instagram, and I want you to see it because I'm in this little pink outfit, and it's so cute. So if you're watching this or listening, go look at my Instagram. I just posted it this morning, and it's so cute. I was hanging out with my friend, and he wanted photos for a brand that he had to post for, and he's like, do you want photos? And I said, no, I'm fine. And then I quickly stood in front of a wall, and now I'm obsessed with these photos. And I love that I was having such a good day. Like, they just happen so naturally. Maddie asks how to find balance in life when things are busy or overwhelming. I think, okay, I'm up for the challenge. This is the oldest I've ever been. This is the most adult I've ever been. This is the most mature I've ever been. Game on, let's go. I can do this. and I start sorting and I start organizing. And the older I get, the more I've become in tune with the type A aspect of my personality that I used to ignore or didn't even think existed inside me. And now this person and I are becoming quite good friends. And I Google Calendar things, and I am checking my email, and that inbox is at zero, and I'm cleaning my room, and I'm doing my laundry, and my sheets are changed, and things are in order. And obviously, there's overwhelming times in life, and then there's really underwhelming times in life. I saw someone else ask a question about that, like, what do you do when nothing's wrong, but nothing's right? Like, nothing's really great, but nothing's inherently wrong. And there are times in life where life is a little underwhelming, and then it's up to you to shake things up. But when life is overwhelming, it's up to you to put things in order and get shit done. And you can do it. It's kind of fun to prove to yourself that you were up for the challenge. You're like, wait, I can handle this. I think I can figure this out. I challenge you to do that. I love you all. Thank you so much for listening. This is the end of the episode. Unless you're on Patreon, then you can hear how I was a little naughty this weekend. I was doing things that I surprise myself. So I will link my Patreon in the show notes if you're interested. I'll put it in the description box of YouTube if you're watching on YouTube right now. Hi, YouTube. Leave a little comment. I'll read them. I've really been enjoying being back on there. Thank you guys so much for listening. I will talk to you next week. XOXO, Lexi.
You've got enough on your plate. Mundane meals shouldn't be one of them. Get an endless variety of the freshest, best-tasting food from award-winning chefs delivered to your door with Cook Unity, all at a fraction of the cost and time you're spending now. Take a load off and leave your meal prep to Cook Unity. Affordable food crafted by award-winning chefs delivered straight to your door. Go to cookunity.com/podcast or enter code podcast before checkout for 50% off your first week.